Some things never change. It's a phrase we use at times, but it's also today's topic with Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. As we open God's Word to the book of Philippians today, we'll gain some insight on things that change and some things that never change. It's good to know there are some consistencies in our life, and almost all of them can be rooted back to God's Word and God Himself. As we open the Word together, know that we're also opening the phone lines. We're always ready to talk or listen or pray with you, maybe connect you with some great resources. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We'd love to connect with you. Now let's open our hearts and our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 with Dr. Don Wilton.
I am going to invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We are about to embark on a wonderful study together in Paul's letter to Philippians. Here's the issue. God's Word tells us to be in the world but not of the world. Now, I'm a Christian man. I'm a Christian father, and I'm a Christian husband. I'm a pastor who is loved beyond anything that I deserve by a wonderful group of people. I'm a Christian man. Jesus lives in my heart and in my life. And I need to know how to be in this world, but not of this world. There's a lot of things that I cannot do. And in fact, I'm not going to. Because Jesus lives in my heart. A lot of things. In fact, the Bible even says all things are lawful, but not everything's expedient. So for example, I don't drink alcohol. You want me to tell you the number one reason why I don't drink alcohol? Because you're all watching me. That's it. So if you're looking for some big biblical explanation, I'm just going to tell you the reason I don't is because you're all watching me. I don't, because I'm a Christian man, I don't want to be the reason why somebody out there says, well, if he does it, I can do it. And you may be that one person, becomes an alcoholic, drives your car out on the highway and hits someone head on, and then we have all the sob stories about, well, he didn't know what he was doing because he was drunk. Is that right? What about the family that lost their life? Maybe you become that man who changes, abuses your wife. How do I live in this world, but at the same time, I'm not of this world? Is it a whole lot of rules and regulations? No, I don't think so. Legalism is not what this is about. Legalism has no part of the Christian church. We've got to ask some deep questions. What's relevant? What should we be doing? What are you going to say to your sons and your daughters? How do we bring up our children today? What's on and what is not on? What's right? What's proper? Well, I could go on and on. So I want you to look in your Bibles today as we begin. I want to read to you something that Paul said as he began this somewhat rather extraordinary letter to a group of people not unlike ourselves. And he wrote this under the most dire circumstances. He was in prison. Listen to this. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to all the saints who are at Philippi, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Now, this is what he says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the love and affection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is what I want to share with you today. Here's the subject. Some things never change. Some things never change. Do you need a bigger house in order to behave better, to do what is right? Paul, writing to a people not unlike ourselves, understood this predicament in which people found themselves in. Not unlike ourselves, looking for change. We're in a political dispensation in the United States. Our phones are ringing off the hook. Political candidates are seeking our individual votes. And many Americans today are saying, we need to find somebody. There's got to be a savior out there. We've got to find the right person who's going to be able to relate in the right way and do the right things so that you can fill in the blank. Most political candidates analyze what it is that people want. Most people want more money. They want more satisfaction. They want more peace. They want more wholeness. They want all these things. And candidates try to tap into constituencies. And I'm a believer. Jesus Christ has come into my heart and into my life. My constituency is the zone of God's operation. It's the dispensation of the hand of God's grace upon my life. It's the very expression of who God is by the might and power of His Spirit in the inner man. And I think Paul understood this. And what is most noteworthy here at the outset of this study in Philippians is, I think, among many other things, that he lays down for us that the new normal, in other words, that our unchanging God has never changed, regardless of our changing world. And he shows us how to fit these two together. How do I reconcile my Christian life with my very unchristian world? How do I, as a believer, vote for a candidate for the White House who, for the most part, will say what needs to be said to satisfy the precincts of my Christian world, and yet, at the same time, doesn't seem to live by those same rules? What is my response? How do we, as a church, anticipate tomorrow's world in which people tell us that the baby boomer generation is going to be presenting to us a far, far greater senior adult population than we in our lifetime have ever experienced? And they say out there that the way in which the church ought to relate to this world is to just simply take care of young people. Does that mean that we fall foul of what many countries do, in that we just sweep our grandparents aside and hide them under some kind of bridge and pretend that they're not there, excepting when we need a check from them, while we, those of us who are young, sail off into the sunsets and sunrises of our own existence? Well, some things never change. But what are the fundamental principles of our unchanging God that hold this all together? Let me just give to you five of them that the apostle lists here for the church at Philippi. Some things that never change. Number one, thankfulness. Just take a look there. You might want to start doing. In fact, I've done it in my Bible. You can't see it. This is my preaching Bible, by the way. Let me revise that. It's one of my preaching Bibles. I now have quite a stack of them. But this is the one I'm using at the moment. And on verse 3, all I've got underlined is one word, thankful. Thanks. That's all I've got underlined. And actually, that's all we need right now. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a moment. Here's what Paul says. He says, I thank my God for you. It seems to me that God gave us a mind to think with and a heart to thank with. Seems to me that God gave us a mind to think with and a heart to thank with. You don't need a bigger building to be thankful. You don't need to drive a more magnificent motor car to be thankful. You don't need an array of options to be thankful. Gratitude, which is the very heart and soul of all that God has done for us, finds its ultimate expression in what Paul did say when he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18. He said, give thanks in all circumstances, watch this, because this is the will of God for you. So I'm a Christian man. What if I was to propose to us as a congregation that we did nothing else for the next 10 years except be thankful? It's a powerful statement. I want you to just think about it for a minute. What are you really thankful for? I'm thankful most of all that the Lord Jesus would have reached down from heaven, revealing himself to me, drawing me into his heart, that he would have accepted my plea for forgiveness, my repentance of my own sin, that he would have wiped my slate clean, that he would have written my name in his book in heaven, that he would have set me up and dusted me off and brushed me off and cleaned me up and allowed me to marry such a beautiful lady as my precious wife, and that he would give me 3 wonderful children and wonderful grandchildren. You know, what are we thankful for, you know? I'm so thankful to the Lord for you. Just thankful. What does it take for us to be thankful? You know, thankfulness really has a threefold inertia, so to speak. We need to be thankful up to God because everything comes from him. We need to be thankful into ourselves because what he has done has impacted us, and we need to be thankful out to others. It's really quite simple. So there's your first unchanging God in our changing worlds, just thankfulness.
Now that's a powerful truth, the fact that we have an unchanging God in an ever-changing world now more than ever. I know that fear is somewhat of a burden on all of our lives, caution. We need to replace that fear with faith, as Dr. Don would say. But if you need someone to talk with or pray with you, as we pause in the program, Dr. Don always wants to remind you that this is a conversation, not just a presentation. And we'd love to speak with you and pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. We'd love to be able to encourage you. That's what we're called to do at The Encouraging Word. Now back to Some Things Never Change, today's message from Dr. Don Wiltham.
Number 2, prayer. Look at verse 4. I've got one word underlined, prayer. It's just an amazing thing. And prayer, once again, has a threefold inertia. We pray up to God, we pray in for ourselves, and we pray out to one another. So watch this. This is so basic. This doesn't require money, not fame. I don't have to run for office to do this. I don't have to sit in a particular seat. I don't have to be male or female. I don't have to be up or down. God has given us the gift of prayer, praying up to God, praying in for ourselves, and praying out for one another. I pray up to God because everything comes from him. I pray in for myself because God speaks to me and fills me with his Spirit. God gives to me what it is that he requires of me. And as a result, I am now, because of the shed blood of Jesus, through the ministry of intercession, I'm able to pray out for others. No agenda. How do you have an agenda when you talk to God? Now, Lord, I want to have a conversation with you, and this is my agenda. God says, hold on a minute. You want to have a conversation with me? I'll let you know what my agenda is. Number three, partnerships. Verse 5, I just underlined one word, partnership. By the way, partnership is the coming together of more than one person for a common purpose. When it comes down to what we seek from God, that's why we come together. If you were to look at our church, for example, at our recent Deacon Wives Retreat at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, we shared together on what God was inviting us to do as a congregation moving forward. And then with our deacons meeting, and then with all the ministry team of our church. And really, if you look at me, it involves every single one of us who call upon the name of the Lord. That's the beauty of the church. The great thing about the church of the living God is all of God's people seeking God's face in full partnership with one another. Partnerships do a number of things. They provide accountability, certainly, but they double the input. There's no question about that. And thirdly, they magnify the output. The greater the partnership, the more the accountability together in Christ, the more the input, that which comes together, because God speaks to all of us and we all put it on the table together, but then it magnifies the output. If all of us are involved, all of us are going to get involved. I don't want you to be left sitting on your seat by yourself as we move into the next 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years. You can never retire from God. Partnerships. But there's a fourth one here too. In my Bible, I underlined something very simple in verse 6. In my text, it says, and I am sure of this. In perhaps your text, it might say, being confident of. Do you see that word there? That little word confidence is so magnificent. It's in many ways the fourth thing that never changes. It's so very simple. If you just look at it, what doesn't change? What do we not need money for? We don't need to raise a budget for this. We don't need a budget to be thankful. We don't need a budget to pray together. We don't need a budget to be in spiritual partnership, in union, and in submission with one another. We don't need a budget to be confident that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Helen Keller, that blind lady we all admire so much, said, and I quote, nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Where does spiritual confidence come from? It comes first of all from knowing Christ as Savior. I'm so grateful to tell you today that I am a spiritually confident man because Jesus Christ is in my heart. He fortifies me. That's why I want to invite you to trust Him as your Savior. Spiritual confidence comes from taking God at His word. I am not going to join the political correctness of the United States of America in trying to squeeze and adapt the absoluteness of God's word as God's word in order to conform to a culture or to a way of life or to a way of doing. I will not do it because I have absolute confidence in God's word, and I am going to take God at His word. Which doesn't mean to say that always makes me feel hunky-dory, you know. Doesn't always make me feel comfortable. Many times it makes me feel like a warmed over biscuit, and that's awful. God's word is not there designed to suit me. I am here before a holy and a righteous God who is my Savior and my Lord, and I have confidence in Him. That's what He's talking about. You can't buy confidence. You can't elect confidence. You can't bank confidence. You cannot invest confidence. You cannot go to university and earn another degree in confidence. I'm a Christian man. Where does my confidence come from? Number one, knowing Christ. Number two, taking God at His word. And number three, cultivating the gifts of the Spirit. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of love and a spirit of power and a spirit of a sound mind. He's given you the ability to do what you otherwise cannot do. My confidence comes in the fact that God by His Spirit comes into my heart, as He's done to every single one who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call upon us as a people, as a Christian people, to rise up in confidence that God has not forgotten us. God hasn't turned His back on us. God hasn't gone anywhere. God wants to bless us. God loves us. God loves you. I believe it. I know this is true. And so the fifth in this particular study of the things that never change, thankfulness and prayer and partnership and confidence. And number five, good old-fashioned love. Verse 7 and verse 8, I hold you in my heart. Verse 8, how much I yearn for you with all the love that comes to me in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I want you to know something. That when I tell you that I love you, I really do. Doesn't mean to say when you tell someone that you love them, that you agree with everything that they do. Nothing will sustain your children in your home more than the fact that mom and dad love them. Now, folks, listen to me. Listen. And particularly you young parents, listen. Just listen to this. You can do so much for your children when they're little and when they're growing up. Now, here's what you need to do, parents. A, you need to buy them a new bicycle when they turn 5 with wheels on it, training wheels. A, B, you need to make sure that you go on the C. And there's so many things that you can do and must do, and we know that, don't we? But I'm telling you, nothing will take the place of just love. You can buy your kids, sponsor them. Some of you men are making the biggest mistake of your life, because all you're doing is sponsoring your kids going to ball fields all the time. But there's not a lot of love coming out. And you sponsor them going to all these ball events, and you should. I'm not telling you not to. Gosh, man, when my kids were growing up, I lived going from one gymnasium to the next. Get up there and shout with the best of them. Don't not do these things. But what's the point of doing that if you don't do what really matters? Don't take your wife for granted. Stop just coming home at night and going to work in the morning and sitting there like an old grouchy grouch. And when hunting season comes on, you're going to go and shoot turkeys because that's what you do, you big old boy. And you just go off, and who cares about anybody else or the kitchen sink? And you never tell your wife you love her. You are seriously messing with your marriage, son. You want me to tell you how to put a smile on your little girl, your little boy's face? Just get a hold of their sweet, precious, beautiful little mama in the kitchen, next to the kitchen sink. Just put a big old, big smooch all over her. I mean, just smooch her right there and forget whether the neighbors are looking through the window or not. And watch your little girl, little boy's face when they walk into that room and they see mommy and daddy in a clinch in the kitchen. You wouldn't be able to identify or describe, yes, the outward smile and the comments that are all cute. But I'll tell you something, the warmness that you put in the heart of that little child, that they know mommy and daddy really love each other, you couldn't buy that, buddy. You could not buy that. Not all the money, not all the bank balance, not all the buildings, not the new home, the new motorbike, the new shotgun, not wind sailing, parasailing, jumping off a mountain, standing on your head, doing whatever it is. You will never be able to invest more greatly in the life of your children than when mommy and daddy just love one another. I present to you our unchanging God in our changing world. So what if all we did for the next 5 years is be thankful and pray and be in partnership and deepen our confidence in God, and then just continue to really love one another. If you really loved somebody, you wouldn't speak like that. You wouldn't behave like that. You know something? The greatest love that we have is the love that God has for us.
Oh, and that's what it's all about, the love of God. I know that you've been listening and paying great attention, but I pray you tune in to these next few words from our pastor. They may be the most important he'll say today.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Oh, if the Lord has spoken to you, won't you call and let us pray you through the next step? 866-899-WORD is that phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's a place you'll find great resources as well. Resources like this.
What miracle are you personally praying for today? You may need the miracle of healing in your body, healing of a relationship, your finances, or to overcome an addiction. Perhaps you need a miracle for your son or daughter to return home. Whatever you need, whatever circumstance life has thrown your way today, be encouraged. God loves you. This month, for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton would love to send you two inspiring ministry resources: Praying for a Miracle, a CD only message, and a When God Prayed book. Both of these resources will stir your soul and move your heart to a fresh realization of what God prayed for us, and that He can be trusted in what we are believing Him for. A miracle. Call us at 866-899-9673. We would love to pray with you and send you these resources. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
I would like to take this time to testify what the daily Encouraging Word devotional has meant to my spiritual life. Out of all the devotionals I ever encountered, this one has to be the most inspirational to speak the revelation knowledge in my life. It has blessed and allowed me to seek God's purpose for my life. It seems to always speak to my situation at just the right time.
I do hope you'll call for your copy of Praying for a Miracle and When God Prayed. Again, our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And it is indeed a great key to connecting the wonderful resources like that. But it's also connecting you to friends who would love to encourage you in prayer right now, right where you are. 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. And you know, every single day, Dr. Don sends out a daily email. You can sign up for it at tewonline.org, the Daily Encouraging Word. And it just launches my day. I read it about 6:15 every morning, and it just helps set the tone for my quiet time. I hope you'll consider getting it. You can find it online at tewonline.org. It really will set your day in motion like nothing else, because it's God's Word. Until next time, take care and God bless.